Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. We're actually coming to you live from Chase Center because we've been talking to guys on the Summer League roster all day. We'll have Lane Wilson, the head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors. He's going to be coaching for the Summer League Dubs in just a couple days. Begins this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Evan Infersteiny with Goo. You wanted to run Who By Me.
So you did a great job illustrating where the Warriors are at in regard to what they can take in financially. Mm-hmm. So you cannot, here I go, I love analogies, I'm bad at them, but I keep firing them off. So you cannot, if you're the Golden State Warriors, go to the car lot and say, I want the Bentley fully loaded.
Probably
okay?
not.
But if you wanted that Honda Civic or that Honda Accord, and I know this player that I'm about to mention's gotten some trouble off the court, but I want to say that's behind him. Kevin Porter Jr. told Milwaukee Night Night he wants to test free agency. Could you see him with his skill set working a Warrior uniform?
Well, they need a shooting guard. I don't know if Kevin Porter Jr. is the guy.
He thinks he can shoot, but yeah. Right.
You know, so does Pods.
Yeah, but, right.
Well, that would be my only issue with Kevin Porter. I wouldn't necessarily like him, but it's because I don't think that he's good enough to automatically just say you're going to start.
Okay.
Like,
right.
If the Warriors acquired a shooting guard that was good enough to move Pods back to being the backup point or two, I would love that. I just don't think that Kevin Porter Jr. is that caliber of player.
And you know what? The great Carter Chickering just texts this guy who I've been a fan of so much that Carter had to remind me, but I don't know what he's done to the league, but what about the buyout in Utah with Jordan Clarkson, who is a walking bucket?
I would love that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, if you could get Jordan Clarkson, you know, I am curious,
dude,
again how much he would cost, but that's someone that he could start if Steph needs a day off. He could come in and get you baskets.
Yes, he could.
He's been in the league for a long time. Another guy that also kind of...
Good call, Carter.
According to Mark Stein, Cole Anthony... Memphis is looking to shed his salary. He makes $13 million this year.
Oh, I thought he was going to be their starting PG.
Well, maybe that means that they are, in fact, not going to shop Ja. But, yeah, I mean, Cole Anthony in Memphis... Like, is that a name that,
yeah,
that would intrigue you?
I like him. I think he knows what he's doing. We've seen him trying to do
him.
It. Yes, sir. But, I mean, what do you think you would have to trade to fetch him? Or would that be somehow Kuminga would be involved in that?
Well, his salary does just about fit the base year compensation, you know. But again, a lot of people might view trading Kuminga for not specifically Cole Anthony, but for a Cole Anthony type player as selling low.
And Evan, that's where I'm at. Like my gas tank in the caddy, I would deem that low.
Little lower,
yeah.
You know. So again, we're talking about some guys that are going to be available for the Warriors. I think I do think that Al Horford would be a great fit for this team, a relatively cost-effective center that I would trust to start more than Quentin Post and more than Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think he'd be a great complement alongside Draymond Green. And while I have problems overall with the age of the Warriors...
Again, how old did you say, 39?
He's going to be 39, yeah.
He's beating Father Time, I'll give him that.
It's already an old basketball team, and you would be acquiring the oldest member of the team. That I do have a problem with, but if this is the path that they're going to go down, and they're trying to figure out how to have one last great run at a title, I think he fits that window.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you, Evan. And if it were to happen, you know, I got my gear and I'm going to rock it. But I can't shake this, you and the boss, this big things are going to happen. Can I just park my car in New Orleans for a minute? Could Zion possibly be on the move? Would that be big?
I don't think so. And the reason why is they traded for, what was it, the 10th overall pick? They traded a future unprotected first. If you were going to flip Zion, you probably wouldn't trade a pick as close to next season. You're looking to compete this year, in my mind. And a lot of they caught a lot of flack from many people about giving up a lot for an unproven talent. Derek Quinn's a good player, but that is a lot to give up. I think that means that, Joe Dumars does not want to trade Zion.
Mm.
And who knows? That might change in 6 months around the deadline. You know, in a way, and we were kind of kicking this around last week, and I'm of the belief that, the Warriors and, Kuminga have to, at some point, go their separate
and
ways.
And I understand that, Ev.
I feel like they both want different things. It hasn't worked. But the issue is, the Warriors don't want to give him up for nothing or for half of his value. And that is the rock and the hard place in all of this. Is I'm just sitting here looking at it like, how can you bring this guy back to a place in which he doesn't really like the role here? And
you kind of done it for 2 years, though, if you want to be honest.
Oh, no. I'm with you. Yeah. Totally. But you are looking to compete this year. And Unless you believe, Goo, that he can just put this summer aside and be the sixth man that everyone kind of needs him to be right now, I just don't see how there isn't going to be issues next season.
Man, Evan,
a distraction.
Yeah. I got you.
A report about who's unhappy with who. Kerr won't play him. He's not getting what he wants. Get me out of here. And while all that is well and good, you can take that into the deadline. That's a long time between late October and February to just have an unhappy player on the roster.
But when you talk about the ins and outs and the X's and O's and the chicken, Evan, And normally I don't like to do that, go into the next season and look at the deadline. But you look at what happened, and we talked about it earlier with Jimmy Butler. But if you want to get full value for Kuminga, then that would be the target date. But you are running the risk of, coming into this season. And he's never been toxic, right? He's had some comments get to the media, and they've handled it. And we've had Kerr on with Willard and Dibbs throughout the season, and it's never been an issue. But I'm with you. It feels like, a married couple's talking to a therapist, and both parties, nobody's mad, but they've decided, parting ways is the best way to go. But, man, you just can't do that if you're the Warriors to get pennies on the dollar. You just can't. So that takes us into next season and the deadline being that time to parlay or flip Kuminga. But with all that said, if I'm JK, I would tell him this. Of all the years for you to be mad, who's to say, had you not got hurt, that Jimmy Butler would be a Warrior? You were balling, you got hurt, and that's on you. But when you talk about, and the reason I bring that up is you brought up bad blood, and they didn't skip over you. You kind of helped them look that way because you got hurt and missed 30-something games.
Yeah, I mean, that's really poor timing. And who knows? I kind of still think they would have tried to get a Butler just because they needed more talent on the team. But, the news right now for Golden State surrounding free agency, a little less than 3 hours away, 3 o'clock
Let's go.
Pacific Standard, is that Al Horford is the top target for Golden State. And it was reported by Anthony Slater. It's also been confirmed by Mark Stein of the Stein Line. Al Horford is the guy that the Warriors want to be their starting center next season. And I completely understand why. But if there's a different guy out there that you, the listeners, are more interested in, it could be Brook Lopez, could be DeAndre Ayton, could be Clint Capella. If there's someone out there that you would prefer, please let us know at 888-957-9570. Other free agents to kind of keep an eye on, Goo. Nikhil Alexander Walker. Atlanta is going after him.
I bet.
Detroit also now has a vacancy at shooting guard. I don't know if you heard Malik Beasley.
Yeah, it's scary. I hope he's innocent, Evan, but damn. I mean, when is enough not enough? Like, you get millions to play a game you love. How much is whoever's telling you to do that stuff offering you? Or I don't want to go first 48 and get cryptic, but maybe if somebody's forcing you to do something you don't want to do, then that's a whole nother thing. But I hope to God, and he had a contract offer from Detroit with some nice chicken.
Not anymore.
Well, it's on hold. So hopefully he's exonerated. But man, what is going on?
Well, what's going on is he is under investigation. There hasn't been a charge, but he is under investigation.
Wow.
Allegations of gambling gambling related to NBA games and prop bets. They're from the 2023-24 season when he was a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, and at least one prominent U.S. sports book detected unusually heavy betting interest on Beasley statistics beginning around January 2024, and they're basically trying to figure out if he was betting on himself.
So he needs Ohtani representative. Just make it go away.
All right.
Now, I heard Shasky. Him and Willard are so hard on Ohtani, man. But just make it go away. But, Evan, I hope just for the sport that that's not where. Now, I understand, and I don't. Even a young guy getting a couple hundred thousand to play the sport you love, you're in a good place, you know. But, man, for you to be making what he's made and throw that away and risk your freedom over some prop bets, I just, man. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I get why Jonte Porter might have been doing it.
Exactly,
he's
my point.
Not really involved
exactly.
in much. But look, gambling is something that most people do. You just can't do it if you're a professional athlete. You just can't. And whether he was betting on himself, there's a couple examples. You get into the story about, you know, again, the props and so much money was coming on and an under and an over. You just can't do it. But anyways, the result of that is that the Detroit Pistons may be interested in someone that also the Warriors are trying to get at. Could be Caris LeVert is a guy that I think would be really good in Golden State. N'Keal Alexander Walker is a player that I like, but Detroit might pursue them harder than the Warriors can because they have more money to offer them.
If I wake up tomorrow, Evan, or let's just say next Monday, and somehow, and I know Kincaid and Tim Jordan are listening to me, and you say two of the new Warrior additions are, keep going here, Jordan Clarkson and DeAndre Ayton, I would be happy.
See, I wouldn't be happy with DeAndre Ayton, but in a way, Horford doesn't excite me that much either. I understand the fit and why he aligns with what they're trying to accomplish, but I guess going out and getting a guy who's older than all the players on the team.
I get it. And he plays hard, Evan, so I do know he's bringing something to the table, but I get you.
I mean, for his age, he's been a relative Iron Man.
No doubt.
He hasn't had very many big injuries. I think the last one was in his early 30s. The year that Boston made the championship, lost to the Warriors in 2022.
And he can get off the ground.
He shot 45% from three-point range.
Yeah, he'll block a shot every now and then.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the news right now. How you feeling about it, Warriors fans? 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to step aside here. We got Lane Wilson, head coach for the Summer League Dubs and the Santa Cruz Warriors coming up shortly, all live from Chase Center here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Ginnings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. That segment was sponsored by Ceremony Ford. Someone that has either worked with them or will get to work with them this upcoming season. Lane Wilson, head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors, is going to be running Summer League this summer. What's going on, man? Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And of course, all guests join us on River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Well, what has this opportunity meant to you? I was looking a little bit at kind of your rise through the Warriors system. I mean, really grinded every single step of the way. What was it like to hear that you were going to get this opportunity to become head coach in Santa Cruz?
Pretty surreal overall. I mean, I think I got my start in professional basketball in 2016, and if you told me that within 10 years I'd be out in San Francisco working for the Warriors and then at some point being the head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors, I probably wouldn't believe you. So it's pretty surreal just to see it.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm excited for you, and I'm thinking to myself, like, who impacted your life to where you said, you know what, coaching is the avenue I want to go down?
Yeah, well, I got my start at the University of Georgia, where I worked under Mark Fox there and kind of worked my way up through that program as like a student manager and stuff, and kind of realized in my last couple years there that I wanted to go into professional basketball. And then when I was in Grand Rapids, I worked for a coach, Ryan Kruger, who really empowered me, kind of moved me up from like an intern, like video role, and let me get on the court as like an assistant coach, and kind of got my first real like on-court coaching experience and kind of finding my voice. So that, awesome. I would say, would be the biggest one.
Lane Wilson, head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors, as well as the Warriors Summer League team, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You know, a lot of people get to see the reward of the player at the professional level, right? Last year's Quentin Post, who started in Santa Cruz, helps the Warriors. Trace Jackson Davis, Brandon Pajemski, a lot of players have come through Santa Cruz. But What is it like working with the guys at that level? Like, how would you describe whether it's the importance or just what your goal is in Santa Cruz to get these players to eventually where they can contribute in Golden State here at Chase Center?
Yeah, so it's just getting them comfortable and familiar with the professional game. I mean, especially a guy like Quentin down there was able to kind of discover himself to a certain degree, learn how to play and fit in, and he was, you know, really working on his shooting ability. And then by the time he got up here, he was making some pretty big shots for the organization. And I don't think that part happens without him getting that start in Santa Cruz.
Wow, that's awesome. Can you walk us through, you know, how you attack, just from a coaching standpoint, your everyday job with Santa Cruz, as opposed to, obviously, you're trying to win here in the next couple of days, but, you know, how do you approach this? What's the goal?
That's a really good question. I would say the goal for a lot of these guys is just getting them comfortable and familiar with the professional game. It's probably going to feel a little uneasy at times as these guys are adapting, and so if the process is correct and we're teaching these guys kind of our way that we want to play basketball, and they figure out kind of what works for them and what doesn't work for them, and they come away, one, having a positive experience, and then two, learning something along the way that's going to help them into the fall and into training camp for the next season, I would say would be a major success.
Lane Wilson with us here on 95.7 The Game. You know, when we had Richard Tui Armstrong on before, you know, one of the big questions you love to ask people is, you know, what kind of player are you? What kind of coach are you? How would you describe yourself as a head coach?
I mean, I would say for my style, my biggest thing would be to empower our players. And I would want our guys going into each of these games being pretty confident. And I would say hopefully the biggest influence besides the relationships part is that these upcoming few days of practices kind of push these guys to their limit to a certain degree. So it feels a little unfamiliar, a little uncomfortable. So that by the time that the games roll around for them, that they feel pretty at ease and things feel slow to them. And that way they can play off instinct without having to overthink things.
Now, there was a time I dreamed of being a parent. Now I have three children. And I thought when I didn't have any kids, I'm going to be the same parent all the way through. Now I have the three. I'm three different parents. I treat them each differently, right? And when I think of it, I'm like, man, how do you approach coaching? Do you do that with your players, or is it just one way and you're the same with all of them?
I would say, I mean, you want to treat players consistently based on what they are and kind of meet them where they're at, because everybody's got different personalities, different needs, different ways that they want to be coached. So it's just trying to figure out that way of how to adapt to each player, because realistically the whole goal is to maximize and get the best out of each guy.
Lane Wilson with us here on 95.7 The Game, head coach in Santa Cruz, also for Summer League. I do want to ask you about, so like, for example, Will Richard and Alex Tui both get drafted. It's a relatively tight turnaround between when they get selected and now this weekend, for example, at the California Classic. Like, for those two guys, what is your approach to getting them as much as you can up to speed, and especially with an opportunity this weekend to play in live games, you know, how would you say, like, your approach to coaching those individuals is?
I would say to start out, I would say try and give them a lot at the beginning, just so, again, like, it feels a little uncomfortable, a little uneasy to them. And then, as I said, as the days goes on, then they'll be able to kind of start processing things. Things will start connecting. I think I don't want them feeling, at least from a basketball perspective, that, you know, the practices feel really easy, really comfortable, and they're not being pushed, because then the games are, you know, the games are pretty unforgiving. And so if they get out there and they start realizing, okay, this feels like I can process this better, or they come away saying, all right, like, again, from college, from being overseas, all right, this is what I think is going to work here, and this is what's going to not. It's a lot of trial and error.
How much, I got to believe that one day, you know, you want to coach in the NBA and be a head coach. How much time do you get to spend, if any, with Coach Kerr and kind of pick his brain?
Quite a lot. I've been pretty close to Steve for the last 4 years because I've been his video guy. That's the reason I got hired out here. So he's been a great resource. Again, him and Mike Dunleavy kind of pulled me aside after the season and trusted me into this position and said I'm ready for it. And so that obviously meant a lot. And so Steve's and both those guys have been available for kind of any questions, and they've been great resources. And obviously just watching Steve operate on a day-to-day basis is really good experience, I would say.
Well, and you work closely, obviously, with his son, the previous head coach you're taking over for, Nicholas Kerr. For a lot of people who are, you know, now going to see him on the bench as an assistant coach of the Warriors, what is he like? You know, what's it like being a part of his staff?
Just working with Nick the past few years, we worked together on a summer league staff just a couple of seasons ago. So we're pretty like-minded basketball philosophy-wise. And you can kind of see the results that he had in Santa Cruz, not just record-wise, but the amount of guys that were able to come up to the NBA level and contribute in an NBA game, which is pretty tough for a lot of the guys in the league, I would say, especially in the two-ways or kind of in a roster guys. And that was kind of a testament to him and the work that his staff had put in down there.
How big of the video component, because it sounds like that's what helped you get to where you're at now. How big of a deal is that?
I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but I would say pretty important just because, one, you just watch a ton of basketball, so you kind of formulate things of what works and what doesn't. You obviously make contributions to the staff in the time that I've been there. And then hopefully for a lot of these guys, not just the teaching on the court, but then using that video to kind of reinforce how you want them to play with other good examples. And it helps if guys like Steph and Draymond and even Clay, to a certain degree, you know, in the past few years have been great examples of how you want guys to play.
Lane Wilson with us here on 95.7 The Game, head coach for the Santa Cruz Warriors, also going to be leading their summer league squad. Just my last one for you. You mentioned guys that are getting to the NBA, that are trying to make a name for themselves. How hard is it sometimes when you have, you know, all these guys on the roster that are trying to do that, you know, being able to balance them going for their dream, but also having to fit into what the team needs to do, and, you know, kind of juggling both of those difficult tasks?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really tough question. I would say, just kind of going into it, is that hopefully with the message and the buy-in, is that if you get guys that are able to play together and kind of are willing to give of themselves to other players and impact other people to be better, I do think the benefits end up coming around. And so a lot of the time, just from a basketball standpoint, whether it's making the right pass, making the right run that opens somebody else up that not many people see, it's always those small details to me that end up separating those guys, because they end up impacting winning, especially at the NBA level.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Like, how do you balance that? And you kind of just spoke on it. Is it something, because everybody's trying to make a name for themselves, and we understand it, but is that something you say, you know, day one at practice, or you kind of watch, and then you're like, you know, let me pull a certain player to the side, and like, this is what I've been seeing.
Yeah, that's the message I want to have from the jump, is just kind of that collectiveness and togetherness. And it starts with your better players to kind of help set that tone, so it kind of trickles on down. But I do think if guys are willing to play that style, I mean, the last couple summer leagues, even our team last year was pretty good, and it's a very fun style to play, and a lot of those guys ended up getting into better situations because of it.
No doubt. Well, we look forward to see what your team does beginning this weekend, all throughout summer league, and best of luck both this summer, but also first year's head coach. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Bring it home.
Yep.
There he is. All right.
Cool.
That was Lane Wilson joining us live here from Chase Center on 95.7 The Game, and of course you can catch them 5th and the 6th Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
They'll be taking on the Lakers on Saturday, the Spurs on Sunday, and then even the Heat on Tuesday. And it's his first chance. It's pretty cool, man.
It is, and I can't get past the video component of where we're at just as a society, but in sports, you think about Lawrence Frank, Spoelstra, and, you know, he could be the next. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of others, but man, Evan, there's a science to that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going through his bio, and like, you can really see that at every single step of the way, he's had to acquire skills that have moved in that direction. Like, you know, even from, he was saying, his time under Mark Fox, who is previous head coach at University of California, at Georgia, 6 seasons with them. Then he moves into the G League with the Grand Rapids Drive in Philadelphia, gets hired as the head video coordinator here for the Warriors, helped them win a championship in 22, and then joins the staff for the past 2 seasons in Santa Cruz. Like, he is right, in 10 years, to some, it might sound like a long time, but considering all of those things that he's done, it's really a short period.
No doubt about it. And he was glowing, and rightfully so. And I'll say this. What's funny is they run the same offense in the G League, the Warriors offense, that they do at the big club. So, you know, the read and react. They work the principles, per se.
Well, and you know, right to your point, like the last question you asked him, it's absolutely a thing where you got to balance – I think also, too, the role that they're going to have on, say, Santa Cruz and the role that they're going to have on the Warriors are likely completely different. Like, I remember...
That's good
stuff. I think it was Moody's... I forget if it was his rookie or sophomore season, probably his rookie year. He was in Santa Cruz, and I remember reading a story about, like, he scored, like, 38 points. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know Moses Moody had that. Because when he gets to the Warriors, he's a 3-and-D guy who's a spot-up shooter and has now obviously made a name for himself and elevated his play into the starting lineup. But it's like, when he's in Santa Cruz, he can go get his.
No doubt about it.
But when he's on the Warriors, well, then I'm sorry, buddy, but Curry's got to take some shots. Jimmy's got to get those looks. Like,
no, it's real.
Fourth or fifth.
And Evan, you know me. I'm being honest and the fans. Taryn, Alex, and Will, if I'm one of those guys, I'm trying to go Westbrook. And maybe that's not the best, but naturally that's what I would try to do is be shown, you know, and try to be proven and take as many shots as I can. But obviously these guys are pros or trying to be pros on different levels. You know, that's the way you can shoot yourself out of it is by trying to do too much. But I would understand it if we, you know, tune in on the fifth and sixth and guys are letting 20 shots fly. And that's why I was mesmerized by Pod's answer in Summer League his rookie season when he said, because I was a little like to myself, nobody asked, man, he wasn't ultra aggressive in Summer League. Oh, man, I don't know. But when he told Stani and I and you were there, you know, everybody was trying to do that. So I just focused on my game. And then now he gets an opportunity on the big level to show us what he can do. And he's shown us.
Yeah, I mean, and especially it's like this weekend, you know, one of the reasons why I'll be out of town, but I would have loved to go to these games is to his point, like there's so much thrown at him that you can kind of see guys like figure it out in real time, which I think is really cool. One of the reasons that I've enjoyed watching the Warriors develop some of the young guys, again, Pajemski, TJD, Post, the last couple of years, is like you can see every step of development. Like I feel like when Post was out there against Chicago and he knocks down 6 threes, like, oh, wow, like he's got that spot up three that another team's got to respect. Okay, how does he adjust next game when someone's getting in his grill and is trying to run him off the three-point line?
Yeah.
You saw him get exposed a little bit in the playoffs. He obviously played more against Minnesota than he did against Houston, but again, that kind of little, and you guys talked to him, I think he came on last week, and he was talking about, like, yeah, like the intensity, the physicality gets revved so high,
right.
But each series is still different, so I have to be a different player. Like, that part of it, I think, would be the most enjoyable you know, aspect of things from Lane's perspective, from head coach Wilson's. It's like every day you see how these guys can get better.
No, it's awesome. And, you know, like you say, it's going to be on display and not just here for the classic. It'll be, they'll be headed to Vegas too. So the Summer League, I'll say this. We always throw rocks about, you know, who's not the NFL or whatnot. But man, we're hours away from the NBA free agency. But Summer League has become a vibe. You know, that's my new word. But it has, Evan. you could have said, I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah, the vibe. Well, right now the vibe is the Valkyries. I got to say that.
What's the most surprising aspect to you about the Valkyries?
To me, it's the atmosphere that they've been able to cultivate in arena. Like,
it's incredible.
You know, no disrespect, but I don't get that kind of pulse from a November or December Warriors game.
Could I ask you why?
I don't know. That's to me again. What stands out is like when I've gone to games. I feel like I told you guys this during the break, like it feels like a soccer match. Like
that's
everybody
amazing.
Is hung on every single play, whether it's a missed layup or a missed shot or a turnover. Like there's the like, and it always is kind of vibrating the arena, which is and I think it's also a testament to the building they've got. But they pack it out and the people are. They do their part.
No, that they do, Evan, and they are a part, and that's phenomenal. The soccer comp, like man, you hit me with it, like that's part of it. But also too, Evan, for me, just in sports, pro sports, when you hear the word expansion, you automatically have a scholarship for the expectations aren't there. Mm-hmm. We know, and I don't know what it was about with the Valkyries that I thought. some of these players never picked up a ball. No, they played, but for it to come together this fast, and Natalie, the head coach, Nakasi, to be, like, it feels like they've been in the league 3 or 4 years, Evan. Like, that, it's just the way that it's come together so fast, I'm shocked.
Well, they're playing like it. Yeah, they're a couple games above 500 now after their win yesterday.
Playing the defense.
Storm. Pretty dominant win, too. They just played 4 games this week. I think they went 3-1. Like, that's impressive stuff. There's no doubt about it. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Infersteiny with Goo. Steiny's going to be back tomorrow, probably flying back as we speak.
Will it be big Warrior news?
Yeah, I wonder what kind of storm he's going to walk into. Is it going to be the thunderstorm of...
or drizzle.
Like Giannis, or is it going to be... Oh, well, you know, the Warriors just acquired Al Horford.
Yeah, but I'm telling you,
I mean, it's gonna be a long press release because he's got a lot to write about.
No doubt, and I hope I'm not foo-fooing Horford if they were to somehow get Al, because he's better than what we have. He would be an addition, but there's just something about me, Evan, that I'm just looking at. I won't call it the basketball Walmart, but for this conversation, I will. If somehow you could finesse DeAndre Ayton and get him on a reasonable deal, and also get somebody like a Jordan Clarkson to come on off the bench. That's what I want Jordan Poole to be, is what Jordan Clarkson can do. And we can throw rocks at his game all day, but what we know is he can put it in a cup, man.
Now, I do think it's interesting that yesterday there was a report that the Warriors are looking for an elite wing defender.
That's not Clarkson, right?
No, everyone is. Yes, of course you want one. But then today, it's, you know, he's their top target. To me, it's just because he'll be easy to acquire. Like, I think Horford made $9.5 million last year. Probably going to take another step back in terms of salary. That's why maybe the Warriors could get him for the vet men. I don't know. I think the vet men is around 5. But it's like, I don't know if we're getting set up to be disappointed. Like, if fans are being set up to feel like, oh, the Warriors are going out and trying to get this. Like, they want to get Derek White. And then they get Al Horford. Or they want to go out and get Giannis. And then they acquire a backup point guard. You know, or
I don't want to be negative, E, and I hear where you're going, but aren't we kind of staring that when you talk about 141 or 2 million committed to the big three? Aren't we kind of, unless there's a big jump off with the sign and trade of Jonathan Kuminga, and there's 3 teams involved, because you told me that would help the Warriors be able to, you know, acquire a better player. But I don't want Kuminga to go anywhere. But I feel like we've watched the ninth life of, okay, coach, organization, are you going to do all in your power to fit this dude in? And after reading that story that you brought up over the, you know, last couple of weeks with Slater and the Athletic, Kuminga's kind of telling you that's not going to happen.
Well, but again, that's what I'm trying to figure out is, yes, they have financial constraints, but I think the biggest question, just logistically, they have to answer is, do they want to go above the first apron? And
is it worth it?
If they do,
Lakeup showed you he'll do it.
Well, that also means that you kind of have to keep JK. So right now the Warriors are about $25 million below the first apron. You know, ostensibly,
there
enough space to bring JK back. But if you sign and trade him, then you hard cap yourself at the first apron, which you then can't go above. So just behoove them to bring him back at a salary that both parties like, and maybe you do dip into the second apron, or above the first apron, I should say. There's some ramifications for that, but, you know, I guess I just wonder, like, financially, how all in on this season will they be?
Man.
And that's why the Kuminga thing is so like, unnecessarily complex, because you think, oh, yeah, well, he's not happy, they're not happy, move on, get him out of here. But then there's all these... there's all these consequences for it. And that's why I would like to rip the Band-Aid off and be done with this, because I think it would help both Kuminga and eventually the Warriors. But he's got to find a destination. And I don't know, is it Miami? Like, if I could turn him into Wiggins, I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would drive to SFO, or did they change Oakland yet, the name? Oh, my God, that's back on the table. But I would drive the caddy to go get
Sack
Wiggins.
If you got him out of here.
With Reno, wherever, Evan. I would go get him, man. Like, we forget, you know, the sabbaticals or what happened. He was taking care of his family in regard to Wiggins.
Yeah.
But basketball-wise, when that dude is engaged, and it's an if, but let's not act like there weren't good times. Shout out J.J. Evans. I mean, that dude is what we're talking about. And I'll say this about Kuminga. As excited as I am, Evan, if Draymond, Steph, and Steve Kerr came in here and closed the door and had a conversation, because to me, those two players have the power to say, hey, coach, we know you think Nahegan's not it, but we know he's got it. That's enough gravity to make the coach feel like, for you two to say it and you're signing off, it can work. But to put the right on the table, brought to you by Echo Pest Control, Evan, why do I feel like Curry and Dre don't believe that? And that's the one component in this big puzzle that we're all missing, that if Steph and – we can say Kerr, but if Steph and Dre thought he was really that guy and he could be a part, that would be enough gravity to make him be a starter.
Yeah, I think they recognize Kuminga's future value to the franchise, but they don't see his present contributions. And that's kind of the tug and pull. Like, it's the carousel we've been on for 4 years, is what is he going to contribute now? And I think that's their biggest question, is like, how is this guy going to help us win right now when it might be the last best opportunity to do so with their big three? I know that they're under contract for one more year, but you never know how much can change in a year, especially for players of that age. And who knows? You know, after maybe in about 3 hours, Goop, Curry won't be the oldest Warrior on the team.
Or ain't no be a Warrior.
Now, what? All right.
No, seriously, man.
Okay, is it the idea
Look
of Aiden? Is it the athleticism, or is it the player? Like, he didn't play for Portland last year. He didn't even start by the end of the season because Klingon kind of took his spot. That's why they bought him out.
Evan, we're up against it, but I was one of the cool kids in school, and I hated to watch guys get bullied.
It's a humble brag.
And I would go help the bully. And I'm so sick of social media making DeAndre Ayton a joke. The dude is young. He's been put in a bad situation. He's not perfect. He can play. He's a big that can shoot it. And if you light that furnace, he can play. And Draymond is the match. Curry is the match. You put him in a Warrior uniform, down low, everything changes. And he can score. But no, he's a dunk and he can't play. And that's why we don't want him. But basketball-wise, if we did an autopsy on him, Evan, he can help us.
I'm still stuck on you saying you were the cool kid, but you helped the bully.
No, the kids get bullied.
I never liked that.
Yeah, no, I was the guy in the club, and the gal says, I don't want to dance, and he's got to walk or crawl. I can just dance with them.
You got a big heart. That's why I decided to clear that.
That's what I'm trying to get across.
All right, look.
Help me out.
I don't know. I don't know if I can help you with Aiden, but I'll try to help you on the other side. How about that? 888-957-9570 is the number. Big thank you to Lane Wilson. Just chatted with head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors. He's going to be coaching Summer League beginning here over the weekend as well. Check that out on the Odyssey app. Use the rewind link, all that good stuff. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Evan Infrastiny, Daryl the Goober Johnson. We're live at Shea Center, and we'll be back after this. That segment was sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
I'm having a ball.
Now, I think I figured out who DeAndre Ayton is. He's the new DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to be the guy that in a couple of years, or for the remainder of his career, is going to be the guy that people are saying, how come we can't just get him? Like, how come, like, it's like a 7-footer that, you know, ostensibly is, you know, big, and he's physical, he can score, he can put the ball in the hole.
And they did get him.
Well, they did get DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, they got the different version of him. He still did okay here.
But I don't like that we're calling for any 7-footer. Like, anyone. And I'm not saying Ayton can't completely play, but to me, this might be crazy, because I think Ayton is, what, 26 years old.
14-10 career numbers?
I would rather have Al Horford than DeAndre Ayton.
And you're going for 5. And I'm not mad at you. I understand that. But the bottom line is, I just feel like Evan, his reputation, and he's done it to himself, is what you really don't like. But as far as his game and his skill set, I think with the tutelage of Draymond Green and just learning and talking about defense. And somebody said it best on the chat, when he's focused, and that can always be dangerous. You should be focused. But when he's focused, I mean, he's okay. And you're not playing through him. So that buyout had to be humbling, I believe, for DeAndre Ayton. This would be his third team, and hopefully you would get a version of, you know, you could get him for much of nothing, and it'll cost you something, but something they could afford.
And I wonder what people are expecting. A little over 2 hours away from the beginning of a free agency. You know, nothing's finalized until July 6th, but the negotiating window opens. The Warriors have some decisions to make. They extended qualifying offers this weekend to Kuminga, also to Terran Armstrong. But the Warriors are, according to Anthony Slater and Mark Stein, their top target is Al Horford. So this is the wrinkle. So they could use the taxpayer mid-level exception to get Horford. That's $5.7 million, or another free agent.
Okay.
They'll be hard-capped at the second apron, which right now they are currently $38 million below. That means if they decide that that's the avenue they want to go down,
okay,
they're not going to trade Kuminga. They're not going to sign and trade him, because I actually think that this would be the last year, and if at all possible, I don't know if they would like to do it, I don't know if they can do it, but to me, if you really are all in on this season, or you want to maximize your chances to get a fifth, then I do think you have to consider basically spending more money than you did last year. Like, they'll have to go above the first apron, something that they made it a priority to not do last season.
No, well said, and it's the truth. But the bottom line is, Evan, I'm just thinking about Stoney too. Man, has Joe Lacob proven beyond that he'll do that if, you know, it gives him a chance to win or be a player. And he's done that at every turn. But the question is, man, Evan, who's out there that Warrior fans think could change, you know, or give them a better chance to get number five, or maybe even get to the Western Conference Finals or being a threat? Because I think now with the offseason of Jimmy, Steph, and Dre, I know that's top heavy. We got action. But now you want to, the moves around the edges, as you like to say. Now it's about those areas to where I felt like in the playoffs we got exposed a bit in regard to, can any of the others help? And I took for granted Moody was going to be able to do what he did in the regular season in the offs. I put Pods in there, GP2, I don't know if it was injury, but nobody, they all at the same time just kind of vanished.
Well, and leaving, I don't want to say vanish, but also it's their first time. Like Pods had never really played much he hadn't played in the playoffs before. Moody hadn't been a starter in the playoffs. Kuminga didn't really get an opportunity until the last four games of the Minnesota series. Post is a rookie. Like, those guys falling short, it didn't ruin my confidence in them, because to quote-unquote fail the first time you get to the postseason, that's kind of common. Like, there are guys that who, you know, put up big numbers, but even take someone like Anthony Edwards. Like, Anthony Edwards' first time in the playoffs, I think they played Memphis, and they either got swept or they won one game. Like, actually, no, they did win a game. But the point is, they were a one and done. Like, that's the typical path for a lot of young players in the playoffs. And I actually think the experiences that they got last year are going to help them a lot going into this season. And while, you know, you're not going to expect maybe Podziemski or Moody to take a massive, massive leap, I would trust them all hell of a lot more going into this playoffs and really this entire regular season. Like, they got a taste at what it takes.
Mm.
And now we can figure out whether or not they have a different level to reach. Those are still the guys that can get better.
Wow.
Your younger players. That's the only reason that, I mean, leaving Ayton aside, like, that's the only thing that kind of troubles me about Horford is, yes, I think he's a great fit. He's a stretch five. He's probably more ready to start than Post or even Trayce Jackson-Davis. But, like, he might regress between now and next season. Like, he might not be as good as he was last year.
Just natural with his age.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also why he's available. I get it. But, like, to me, the Warriors, like, I hope that in free agency they're able to try and find players that are closer to their prime than being out of it. Even if it's not some great talent, like a Bruce Brown, a Nikhil Alexander Walker. Like, those are guys that are in their 20s and much closer to being in their primes than out of it.
No, I hear you, and you explain yourself well, and I got to be honest, as a lifelong Warrior fan, Evan, it sounds like, and you tell me if I'm wrong, let's leave it here since you brought it up. If that's which direction you go, where, you know what, you lost your playoff virginity, you guys are coming back, you got experience, and you bring Kuminga back with that 20 to 25, wouldn't that be running it back? Because they're saying in the business, running it back, and that's an option. Would you be, as a Warrior fan, would you be like, oh my gosh, we're running it back? Or, hey, let's run it back. Curry, I'm assuming health. Mm-hmm. Health is wealth. That hammy doesn't go. Then what are we talking about? The Warriors in playing OKC in the Western. Like, I believe that could have happened. Them playing the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals.
No, I actually, that reminds me of a point. Something I was thinking about rolling over here. It's like, if they are on the, you know, the step of free agency, really just going to go get Al Horford, you know, maybe a piece. I seriously don't know what they do with Kuminga. To me, it's a coin flip at this point, whether he stays, whether he goes this summer. But if that's the case, you're right. You are kind of running it back. But it signals that they did think that they had action last year.
Oh, man.
And I get it. You're an injury away. There's not a wholesale path for you to get remarkably better. This is what you got. But I think also, you know, hearing Post saying last week, a lot of people in the organization felt like if Curry doesn't get hurt, they win that series, and then you have a puncher's chance. My biggest fear going into this free agency period in this summer,
I feel like I know where you're going. Go ahead.
Is that last year was your best shot.
Man.
And it feels like you didn't get to see what it could be because Curry got hurt. Like, that's my biggest fear, seriously, is that last year was their best chance to win a fifth title, and because of an injury, we didn't get to see if they could do it or not.
So let me have you elaborate. If you were right, and I'm giving you the bucket on the youngsters kind of, you know, it was their first time.
Yeah.
So the way you described it to me, my ears heard, maybe the second go-around, when they get the next opportunity, they'll be more mature. You know, it won't be, they'll be more comfortable. So okay, so that's a positive. Why would you say this year was their best chance, or are you assuming the big three, Curry injury, like Steiny, there's no way to avoid that? Like, why was last year their best chance if you're saying the youngsters are going to be better or more mature and we could count on them?
Yeah,
the second go round,
it's because they're top heavy. Like, I think, and we kind of saw it in the playoffs, they go as Curry and Jimmy go, but mainly Curry. And
no doubt,
unless Curry can maintain that level of play, then I don't know how they're going to get better, or they're going to go further in the postseason. They also, look, I don't want to say they caught breaks, but they had a pretty advantageous path. Like, in the first round, they got a team that they were better than. A lot of the other teams in the West, I don't know if they're better than. I don't know. They're certainly not better than OKC. I don't know if they would have beaten Denver. I don't know if they would have beaten the Clippers. I think they probably could have handled the Lakers, but to their credit, they got Houston and they beat a 2 seed. So I guess my fear is that the older guys take too big of a step back.
Wow.
Whether it's in games played or their play falls off a little bit. I'm less concerned about Curry, honestly, than I am Jimmy and Draymond. But, and then your younger guys don't get good enough. Like, they don't take a big enough step.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, if you're correct when you say they don't take a big enough step, Eben, the thing that just bothers me to my core about this whole, just bringing it back to JK, is they could have used a regular season to let him cook. You know, let him drive. You ever go on a long road trip and it's like, you know what, young fella, you drive and then I'll take over. In a perfect world, he would be to the point to where, okay, we can kind of do what the Dodgers are doing in baseball, if you believe that, kind of playing with their pitchers, and when it's go time, they'll be ready. But that's not the case. And this is what scares me about the Warriors if they do stand pat. Evan, in this current NBA, this climate, to me, they need size and they need shooting. Do you have a problem with me saying, just to condense it or dumb it down, that's a lot?
It is a lot. Okay. But I'll say, if you're trying to get size and shooting and not spend a lot of money, I get why Al Horford is your guy. Right. Like, he's old enough that and he doesn't really fit into Boston's window next season because they're, you know, look, they moved Drew Holiday, they traded Porzingis. It makes sense for them to also split with Horford. Maybe he gets another, maybe this is his last year in the NBA.
It could be.
I don't know. But right now, of the guys that are expected to be on the move, Al Horford is, according to league sources, expected to be the Warriors' guy. We'll find out at 3 o'clock. D'Angelo Russell is expected to go to Dallas. Ty Jerome is expected to go to Memphis, which is why Cole Anthony might be expendable. Potential trade target for the Warriors. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker is expected to go to Atlanta. So those are the guys that are kind of off the board at this point. And I understand why people wouldn't be excited about Al Horford. But, again, with the goal in mind of getting Goo, size,
yeah,
and shooting.
Yeah.
He does fit both of those, and he's not expensive. You know, that's the other deal the Warriors made. Not the devil, yeah, but they made a deal that you weren't going to be able to adjust your roster a whole lot when you chose to pay Jimmy Butler 2 for $120 million?
Yeah. And he gives you the 2-for-1. You talked about it, size and shooting. I like that, but he doesn't give you the birth certificate. But the bottom line is, you're talking about, and I said it all show long, they're all in for number 5, and that starts with just next season. What about a guy like LeVert from the guard, LeVert? Do you like his game?